You're listening to Year Disrupted.
What is up, guys? Welcome to episode 23 of the podcast, Year Disrupted, where our mission, as always, is to encourage and inspire people to live and work abroad through practical tips, actionable insights, and real-life stories. Hope you guys are staying safe out there and working hard on your side hustles. We sure have been grinding hard for the past couple of months here in Thailand. Speaking of side hustles, we have an amazing show for you guys today. We are interviewing Chris Miles. Chris is a blogger, YouTuber, and a full-time entrepreneur who's made six figures online. He also has millions of views on his YouTube channel called Benji's Dad. Chris is going to talk to us about starting a new blog and give us some tips on how to grow your audience and start generating income online. There's a lot of useful content in this episode, so we hope you really enjoy it. Without further ado, here is Chris. Chris, welcome to the show. Pleasure to have you. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us. So we'll just jump right into it. How about you give us your backstory? What were you doing before your current lifestyle, and what kind of got you started into where you are now?
Yeah, so basically, I've kind of been a serial entrepreneur. I've kind of tried almost every way imaginable to try to earn a secondary type of income, even all the way back to when I was in elementary school and middle school. I remember doing like a candy sale, selling chocolate from nice. Door to door, you know, that what they used to do with all the classes. And eventually, I just started maybe marking the candy up by like a dollar or two just so I can keep a bigger nice. Profit of it. I don't know how, you know, how ethical that was, but I don't know if they could figure out that. I don't know if they realized that an 8-year-old could figure that out. So
yeah,
that's kind of where everything kind of started. And over the years, you know, I've done different types of entrepreneurship type endeavors with buying and selling clothes on eBay, buying and selling computers, even moonlighting as a DJ every now and then.
Cool.
I've been able to, mainly just by doing like weddings and anniversaries and stuff, but anything that I could have done to really make a secondary income. And some of those things worked out, some of them didn't, but then got married. And then when we found out that we were having our first child, my wife wanted to quit her job. And that was kind of a big deal because we didn't necessarily have the money to, you know, for especially for me to be able to support everything. But right. My wife kind of sat me down and she's like, you know what, you need to figure this out. And I was kind of okay. Well, that's where the pressure had to
grow up overnight.
I had to become a man at that moment, you know. Even though I was married and everything, I had to figure out a way to provide for this family and this new family that was coming up. So I started looking at stuff online because I didn't want to get a second job. That was probably one of the biggest things. Because that was just going to take more time away from the family and everything. So
yeah, if you're working day and night, yeah.
Oh gosh, yeah, that was
can't imagine.
Working 40 hours a week normally, and then going to work 20 hours at another job, and it's rarely just that time, you know, Gabby, because it's like you have the commute time, you have your lunch period or whatever. So all of a sudden that 20 hours ends up being 30 hours. That 40 hours a week that you're working ends up being 50 or 60 because of the added time. But that's what I didn't want. So I started looking at online stuff, and I stumbled onto blogging. It would be nice to say that, you know, everything was peaches and rainbows after that happened, but that wasn't necessarily the case. I ended up doing some things that weren't necessarily correct because I went off some bad training basically, and by doing that I ended up getting my website completely delisted off of Google, and and obviously that doesn't help you when you're trying to get people to see your site from Google. So basically that happened, and I realized that okay, let me actually, you know, pay for a training, invest into my own education. And it wasn't a lot. I found this training that was like $19, you know, it wasn't super expensive. And when I did that, I followed it step by step and just completely put my ego aside that I thought I knew everything and just started following it step by step. And within about 8 weeks, I made my first sale from my blog. Within about 4 to 5 months, I had made my first $100. Through about 8 or 9 months, I was making a few $100. By a year, I had broken $1,000 in a single month from my blog. And then really That's things started great. To skyrocket after that. Around month 18 or so, I started making around $7,000 to $10,000 on it. It just really kind of ramped up.
Yeah. So a couple questions there. Can you provide maybe a little bit of context on when this was, on how long ago? And when you said you wanted to get online, did you know that you definitely wanted to get into blogging? You said you'd had some experience with eBay and things like that. Had you heard about blogging being lucrative, or were you just, you know, were you kind of ahead of the game in anticipating that blogging would become a bigger deal?
Well, this kind of started around 2015. Okay. Started looking for stuff online. Didn't necessarily work out because I had found other stuff. So to answer, I guess, your second mm-hmm. question, I started doing stuff like surveys online and mm-hmm. all these other random things that took a long time to do, but it only paid you like a dollar. You know, and yeah. because these things were, you know, they're very prevalent online. You know, when you go to how to make money online, if you Google that, you know, a lot of the websites, a lot of the YouTube videos, the first thing they tell you is start taking surveys. And then yeah. you spend hours and hours taking surveys and make very little money from it. And because you're not like an actual employee, you're just like a contracted mm-hmm. person. There's no point that the company has no rights to give you, you know, a vacation or give you rights or have to pay you a minimum right. wage or anything like that. You're just a contracted employee. So I had got into that and I was just wasting a ton of time and not getting mm-hmm. much money because of it. Yeah. So what I ended up having to do was continue looking. So around 2017 is when I actually found out about blogging and I started seeing other people's experience with blogging and seeing people making not just a few hundred bucks a month, but making like thousands of dollars per month. And I'm like, how are they doing this? You know, right. so I got into affiliate marketing, which was really huge, which is basically when you partner with other companies to sell their product. So I did that and started partnering with some really nice, decent companies that I trusted mm-hmm. and that I believed in. And by doing that, things just kind of started skyrocketing after that. So really the whole process probably took, about 5 years or so. But really, yeah. I only took blogging seriously the last three.
Okay, great. Well, so a couple questions. I know that affiliate marketing can be this thing that everyone hears, but nobody understands. So you did a great job of explaining it. But how did you find these companies? Or maybe, did you have a marketing background, or did you find the companies and they kind of walked you through how to sell their product, or how did that process work?
Yeah, well, I had zero experience in marketing. That's okay. for sure. Zero experience. My expertise was in computers. So okay. I went to school for communication and computers a little. So I had a job at a hospital at the time. So mm-hmm. it's not like I wasn't working. I was still working a 9-to-5 job. It just wasn't enough to pay all of the bills. You know, one thing right. I like to say, job is an acronym for just over broke. So I was yeah. making just enough money.
That's a good one.
Never
yeah. yeah. I was making just enough money to pay the bills. But then at the end of the day, mm-hmm. I had like $30 to live on for 2 weeks. And right. I was like, how am I supposed to do this? You know, so I had to find a way to make another way of income. And that's how I've stumbled onto affiliate marketing. So mm-hmm. the trick with affiliate marketing is you're promoting other people's products. So right. let's just say you have a favorite pizza store or pizza joint that you'd like to go to, and you go there all the time. You just absolutely love it. Even when you walk in, you know, the owner of the place knows you. You're on a first name basis with the guy. So, you know, you absolutely love that place. And then maybe the owner comes up to you and says, hey, Chris, you know, when you anytime you ask someone to come over here and they tell me that you sent them, I'm going to give you $20. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's pretty good. You know, because he might be charging, you know, $30 for the pizza. I don't know. Just making right. up numbers right. there. But he's going to give me, you know, 50% of whatever it is that he sells just because I sent them. So then right. I go around. I'm like, oh, this is great. This pizza is amazing. So I don't mind sharing it with everybody. So I go tell all my friends, hey, go there. And when you go there, be sure to tell them that Chris sent you. So mm-hmm. let's just say I send, you know, two friends. You know, I made $40. You know, mm-hmm. but what's to stop me from sending 10 friends? 100 friends, right. 1,000 friends. And that's what affiliate marketing is being able to take a product that you like, take a product that you enjoy and that you use on a daily basis and going to the company and becoming a salesman of sorts for their business. And 99% of companies have this. If you go to their websites, if you scroll down all the way to the bottom, sometimes you'll see something like affiliate program or partner program or something like that. You apply, and most of the time you get approved. If you don't, you just need to find a way to build an audience and show them that, hey, you have a group of people who would be interested in here. If I created a website or a YouTube channel or even a podcast about of all pizza lovers, you know, all we do is talk about pizza, then that would be a very relevant, you know, this store, you know, my local pizza joint would be a very relevant offer to tell them about because a lot of them are going to go, oh, I love pizza. Let me go check this place out. And if I have, you know, a YouTube channel with 1,000 subscribers, 500,000 subscribers, 1,000,000 subscribers, that can end up turning into a decent amount of income. And that's basically what affiliate marketing is.
So now, you know, taking the example of a pizza place, where are you? I'm sure there's multiple products that, that you work with and that that are part of your affiliate marketing. So do you kind of have separate platforms and separate blogs depending on what the products are and what kind of community you need to build around that product? Or do you kind of have one place where you find the products that suit that community and you try to become partners with those companies?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be more the latter where you try to find products that suit the communities that you already have, you know. So I'm sure we've all been on Instagram and we've seen, you know, these Instagram models or fitness models and they're like showing
fit tees, weight loss tees
and everything, the weight loss tees. Every time they do that, guarantee you there's a link on their profile or something where you can click through, go and buy the tee. And if you go and buy that tee, they're going to get a commission from it.
Right.
And
right.
they do that because, you know, they already have perfect body. So they're showing you, hey, if you want to get this perfect body too, this is what I do to do it. And you should do it as well. The only problem with that sometimes is that if you don't believe in the product, you know, then sometimes you can just end up chasing money. So one thing that I teach to my students is don't just chase the money. If it's actually a program that you use, that you believe in, that you know works, then tell it to your audience, because the number one thing that your audience needs to know is that they trust you. Because if you just tell them any random thing just so that you can get a quick buck, then you're going to end up losing the trust of your audience really quick and they won't buy anything from you.
Absolutely. I think especially now that people have kind of wised up, you know, Kim Kardashian isn't drinking skinny tea. Like she can afford personal trainers and chefs and even surgery, whatever she needs to be thin or fit or whatever. So I think that, you know, when you build that trust and if you become a voice in that area, you it takes a second to take it away if you're promoting something that it's clear you don't even use.
Yeah,
and it's very clear that when that kind of thing happens as well. I mean, I remember seeing commercials with like Shaquille O'Neal driving a Hyundai.
I'm like, there's no fucking way he can't fit in that Hyundai. Car. Yeah,
he can't even fit in the car. Exactly.
Right.
You know. So, but you know, they're just doing it for the money, and you're just like, well, now I don't trust you at all. Because think about that. That commercial that I was just telling you about, Shaquille O'Neal driving a Hyundai, that's like a 7 or 8 year old commercial. I haven't seen it in years, but I still remember it because I remember how ridiculous it was.
Yeah. So, okay, when you first began your blog, like you said, you had your blog and then eventually you made a sale. What was your blog geared towards from the get-go? And what kind of products did you begin to sell that you really did believe in or that you did have a connection with?
Well, I've always been under the impression about entrepreneurship, like we were just talking about earlier in the show. And I just love entrepreneurship. I think it's just the most amazing thing ever because you're able to leverage your time better than if you were working for somebody else, working for to be someone else's passive income is the way I like to think about it. So what I ended up doing was creating a blog just about that, about entrepreneurship. And so I would create articles that would help people see that, hey, entrepreneurship is probably a better route to go for rather than going to get a traditional 9-to-5 job. And one of the things that I was promoting was that same training program that I had started with that just taught me how to blog. because it right. worked for me and it had worked so well for me. So I was like, well, let's just start promoting this. So it wasn't my very first blog. It was probably my second or third one. Mm-hmm. I had one that did that talked about luxury watches, and then mm-hmm. I had another one that talked about bikes. You know, it was just a whole bunch of different blogs that I had in the past. But some of them didn't do as well until I actually started using the training that I was getting at the time. And then when I did that, I was able to get that first sale of someone else who wanted to learn how to blog as well. And
yeah.
after that, it really just kind of started taking off.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So then I guess you found what to blog about. You found the product that you wanted to be part of for the affiliate program. The next step, I'm sure, was to find people to come and click on your website or
build
have people
yeah.
yeah, you know, find your blog. Yeah. So how did you go about increasing your audience?
Well, that no doubt is probably, it's funny, it's the hardest thing to do when you're brand new, but once you figure mm-hmm. it out, it's the easiest thing to do. And that's
like
to generate traffic.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And that's to generate traffic or to generate eyeballs that are interested in what it is that you have to offer. You know, I liken it normally to television. Okay. When you turn on your mm-hmm. TV, you might turn on, the cooking channel. Like I love the cooking channel. I can sit there and watch Chopped like all day long. Like,
oh, I love Chopped. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the greatest show ever in my opinion, but, I just love watching it. And it's funny. My wife gets tired of watching it, but I was like, I'll watch another episode. You know, doesn't even matter to me, but it's a good show. But if I sit down one day and I turn on the Food Network, and they're talking politics, that's going to turn me off. I'm going to be like, well, why are you talking? I don't come to the Food Network to talk about politics, you know? And that's because that's a very, I guess an industry word would be a niche channel, meaning it's that's the niche is the topic of whatever it is you're writing about, whatever it is your podcast is about, your blog, YouTube channel, whatever. It's what people get when they come to your stuff. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the one thing about getting an audience is you need to talk to that one group of people. And if you talk to that one group of people, it's a lot easier to draw or to attract people to your content. If you try to talk to everybody, you end up talking to nobody. So you need to talk to one particular group of people.
Oh, yeah. And you can go so deep with that, too. Right. Like take, for instance, you know, some people try to capitalize on writing a bunch of different blogs for a bunch of different people. But if I'm somebody who's into, like, I don't know, fitness or something like that, think about all the things I'm just Googling, like butt workouts, you know, how to burn 1,000 calories, how to like just so there are so many variations to what I might be Googling. So I'm sure if someone is into a specific topic like entrepreneurship or luxury watches, there's probably so many different angles they're getting into that subject if it's their passion or their interest.
So other than finding a niche, then is there also other actions you took, other steps? Because I would think, I mean, if for people that are interested in entrepreneurship, you know, there's a lot of blogs out there, there's people like Gary Vee and those people who really try to push the whole entrepreneurship also. So are there other steps you took to kind of like put you on the top of search results or generate traffic?
Yeah. So one of the things that I did initially, and I still do today, and it's one of the things that I definitely teach anytime I have a new student, is I teach them search engine optimization or SEO, which is where you can write an article and then you place your targeted phrase or keyword or whatever it is that you want to rank for within Google in strategic places within the article. And then you just put it out there and then you wait basically for Google to start to rank your articles. That can take a while sometimes. It can take anywhere from, I've had articles that literally ranked within a few minutes of me posting it. Right. I've had other articles that took 6 months to rank on the first page of Google. So there's kind of a learning curve there because you have to be patient, and a lot of people are not patient. Right. You know, so that's one way to do it. How I got into YouTube was one of the SEO ranking factors. One of the things that Google uses to say, oh, this is a good article or not, is how long someone stays on your page. So if if you go to Google and you type in, you know, how to make a cup of coffee, and then you click on it and you land on a page and you stay on that page for like 5 or 10 minutes, Google assumes, oh, okay, you found the answer to your question. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you clicked on it, was there for 10 seconds and then jumped right back, that's called pogo sticking. You jump right back to the search results. Then obviously that page wasn't a good fit for what it was you're looking for. Mm-hmm. So one way to keep people on your blog is to add video. Add some type of video embedded onto the blog post so that when people get there, oh, here's a video. Then they start watching it. Now they're on your page longer. So when I realized that particular aspect about search engine optimization, I was like, okay, let's start putting some videos onto these blog posts. But the problem was a lot of the videos that I would find that were relevant to what I was writing about, the people who created those videos had their own agenda. They had their own thing. Right. They wanted people to click on their links. They wanted people to join their email list.
Your competition in a way.
In a way, they're the competition. Yeah. So why am I going to put them onto my blog? So I'm like, let's stop being lazy. I'm going to go ahead and create my own videos. And they were very, very simple at first. It was just basically me reading the blog post. And it was just a screen share. And I was just sharing, hey, this is what I learned when I wrote this, you know, kind of when I was researching this. And then I went ahead and posted it onto YouTube and embedded the video from YouTube onto my blog. And what I started realizing was the videos were getting traction, were getting views, were getting eyeballs a lot faster than the blog was. So because of that, I started making a fundamental change. Instead of making the blog with the accompanying YouTube channel, I made a flip. I started making the YouTube channel with the accompanying blog. Mm. And by doing that, things really started to skyrocket.
Yeah.
Nice.
And I think that kind of clears up a misconception that some people have, especially when they're creating content. Like, I need to get really good at this platform before I switch platforms, or like, I don't want to do YouTube until I have the best equipment, or, you know, I need to just get really, really good at blogs before I can make a single video. So I guess in your experience, it wasn't the case, and actually dipping your toes in different waters, you were able to find a way more optimal situation for what you were doing.
Yeah, it's very easy to spread yourself too thin in this business, because there are so many avenues that you can take. You can jump on Twitter, you can jump on Facebook, Instagram, you know, TikTok now. You know, it's just everything is just, there's so many different places where you can extend yourself, but then you can end up being a master of none of them. So there is some truth to what you're saying, Gabby. But to be honest, the way that I look at it, I like to tell people, try to master two free sources and one paid source of traffic. Okay. So one thing that I will say is, you know, YouTube and blogging, they work hand in hand. And a lot of it is because Google owns both platforms. So if you can kind of have both of them talking to each other, it kind of helps Google see that, hey, you're an authority in this space. So you're more likely to be, we are more likely to show your website, show your video to people who are interested in that subject. And that ends up helping your SEO. Right. And then after you've kind of mastered those things, then I recommend, once you start having an income, definitely, I recommend jumping into some type of paid traffic so that you can then start scaling your business.
Yeah, right. That's awesome. So, you know, you mentioned spreading yourself too thin, and that's something, you know, we struggle with too, because we have this podcast and, you know, we have our own blog too, and then the Instagram channel, and we've, you know, given thoughts to having a YouTube channel and a Facebook as well. So just trying to understand for your blog, how much time or how many posts do you target to release per week or per month? What used to be your target in the beginning, and what are you doing now?
So if I'm launching a brand new website, I target anywhere from 30 to 50 articles. And at that point, I'm waiting to see how Google responds to the articles. And if they are responding well to the articles, I'll either continue writing them and I'll make it a project for like a year or something. Or I'll hire some writers for me, and then they'll write the articles and then send them to me, and then I'll have them post it myself. And almost like a ghostwriter. And and by doing that, it helps kind of create a passive income type nature for that particular blog. So then I don't have to worry about it as much, yet it's still out there generating an income. Because a lot of to write a blog is fairly simple. You just have to sit down and do the research and then put it all together in a readable fashion. It's not rocket science to write a blog. It just takes time. It takes effort.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like playing defense in basketball. It just takes effort to do it. You just need to try hard to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, but it is time consuming. And because it is time consuming, if you have a budget, then you can hire writers for you. If you don't have a budget, then you need to do it yourself, you know.
And that's what you can invest is your time at that point. So I love how realistically you speak about timelines and being patient. But, you know, your back was kind of up against the wall when you needed to figure this out. You had a child on the way. You had a family to support. But it really does seem like these things, they do take time. It's not an overnight sensation. It's not a month. Can you walk us through, like, how did your goals match up to your expectations or maybe what you had been taught in this course in terms of what to expect? At what point did you start to see real potential in being able to maybe quit your job or like, yes, this works. This is how I'm going to support my family.
Yeah, Gabby. So as mentioned earlier, I didn't necessarily have the goal of quitting my job. My goal was to support the family so that my wife could quit her job. That's kind of what the goal was. And I had to work towards it, right? So I realized that so many other people were doing it successfully. And I knew that I was smarter than those people. I knew that might be a little egotistical way to look at it, but I knew that
not bad.
I was looking at other people. I'm like, I can do that. You know, that's not difficult work. I can figure it out. So because I had that mindset, I just went with it. And there were times where it got tough. One thing that I've definitely noticed with a lot of students of mine is when they start blogging, a lot of them give up at around the 3 to 4 month mark. And that's typically when stuff starts to ramp up, you know, is around that, around probably 4 to 5 months is when things start to normally take off. At least that's the way that it had been for me. And I've been able to replicate that process over and over again with other blogs. So because is it that first month, you're all excited. You know, that second month, you're kind of like, you know, you're kind of just
not
getting into the groove.
Results, yeah.
Right. And then the second month, you're not seeing results. The third month, you might start getting results. And just like that, right, you start second guessing yourself. Well, am I doing this right? You know, what's going on? How come, you know, 4 people landed on my site today? And I try to tell them, you have to look at the little wins. How many people were on your site 3 months ago? You know, 0, you know, you know, you have 4 people. That's 4 opportunities for you to market to somebody, to give them something that they didn't have before. And so many times people will give up in that 3 to 4 month period. And that's really across the industry from what I can tell in any aspect. If you're doing podcasting, if you're doing YouTube, if 3 to 4 months is when people start to kind of give up. And to me, honestly, I think that's why Google, you know, kind of puts that little barrier there. They want to see who's really interested. They want to see who's going to be there for the long haul. Because if you're there 4, 5, 6 months down the line, a year down the line, then you're going to start getting authority and it's going to show Google, it's going to show other platforms that, hey, this person's here for the long haul. They're probably legit, you know, outside of, you know, some random scammer just creating something just to try to get a quick buck. So, yeah, it does take time.
Yeah. And you're going to learn, too. I mean, I think you have to be humble and patient in that respect, that you don't graduate from college and become like Neil deGrasse Tyson and you just know everything about space. Like, things take time. I know entrepreneurship is a more freeing and flexible career path, but I talk about this story a lot, but when I quit my, was ready to, before I quit my job and started freelancing, I remember the first $12 I made me cry. I was so happy. So I love how you talk about, I love how you talk about like within a few months you made $100 and compared to $0, that is amazing. So I love, you know, what you talk about. I'm sure you teach your students this as well about putting in the time, having those realistic expectations, but then pushing yourself hard as well.
Yeah. The very, very first, I mean, I did say my first commission was like a $17 or $18 commission that I made with a program. But I had other sites before, and the very first commission that I made that I didn't even really try to get was like 27 cents off of Amazon. That was a good 27 cents because it showed that the process worked. You know, all I had to do now is just scale it. But, you know, after a while, when I was finally making, you know, okay money, like a few $100 a month with it, it was now paying for all of the stuff that I had purchased before to get it up and running and, yada, 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 and maybe some of the mistakes that I made where I didn't have to purchase something. I just did it because I thought I needed it. You know, mm-hmm. it was finally starting to pay for that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, once it hit about $1,000 a month and then $3,000 a month, and I was like, oh, now it's making more money than my wife was making. And then mm-hmm. fast forward another 3 or 4 months. Okay, now it's making more money than both of us combined were making. I was like, mm-hmm. this is kind of crazy. So then I started batting around the idea of quitting the job. And to be honest, you know, that was probably one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make because,
right.
you know, I'm not just like, you know, a single guy, 20 years old. Oh, let's quit my mm-hmm. job, see what happens. You know, I had a family. I had an infant. You know, I was like, yeah. I can't just quit and just not work. And I had some friends look at me like a little sideways, like, you're doing what now? You're doing this online thing? Are you sure about this? You know, you get a lot of random questions like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because most people don't understand what it is that we do. You know, they don't understand mm-hmm. that we are creating content to be consumed and then can, you know, can find a way to make money on the other side. And it's hard, you know, giving up a very consistent income because you're getting it two right. weeks, every 2 weeks. But the problem is, whether you work super hard or you don't do much work at all, you know, you're still going to get that same amount of money no matter how hard mm-hmm. you work. But yeah, in this business, what I like about it is I can sit down and I can grind really hard for mm-hmm. like 3 or 4 months working on something. And that's probably going to end up paying me for years down the line.
Yeah.
And that is the yeah. biggest difference. And when I realized that fact that my time was better spent creating something for myself rather than creating something for somebody else, is when I made the fundamental shift of, you know what, let me just go ahead and quit. It got to the point to where mm-hmm. going to work was a waste of time for me. You know, and
time is money at that yeah. point.
Yeah, time is money at that point. So I was like, you know what, let's just give it a try. So mm-hmm. I look at jobs like a dime a dozen. If I need to get another job, I'll go get another job.
Right.
So I did. I made a lot of concessions. We didn't buy much stuff for a long time. I mm-hmm. refinanced my house so that I could get a much lower payment each month, and mm-hmm. we dropped a PMI on it. I created a nest egg. I paid off all of our, you know, unsecured debt that we had at yeah. places. So I didn't have any credit card debt. This was credit card debt that I had been carrying for like a decade, some of it, you wow. know, just transferring it from one card to the next, trying to keep it onto a nice low interest rate. And I had school mm-hmm. loans because I went to school. You know, this isn't like I just did this out of high school. I started,
yeah.
I mean, I went to LSU and, you know, I got the job at a bank and I got what I was supposed to get, you know, basically from going to school. But I also mm-hmm. had a ton of debt from it. So I had to pay off right. the credit, had to pay off the school debt. So once I got all of my bills to almost as low as they possibly could be, then I built up a nest egg of cash to mm-hmm. where even if the money from the online business stopped today, we can still survive for like a year. You know,
yeah.
So once that was built out and we're ready to go, all right, I went ahead and called my boss and gave my boss like the most biggest heart attack that he ever had because he did not see it coming at all. Yeah. I had literally been building this whole business under his nose.
Yeah, yeah, that's
that
funny.
That was Abby's boss. That's, yeah. Too,
when I quit my job, surprise. He was like, "Oh, you caught me off guard. Wasn't expecting it." But yeah, but I mean, that's such a good point, and I kind of went about the same way as building that nest egg and like having a safety buffer. Mm-hmm. So while you're, you know, ramping things up and growing your business, there's going to be a period where you're not like certain about what your income will be, but to have that nest egg to make sure that you can live off your savings for 6 months, a year, 2 year, whatever yeah. you feel comfortable with, that is so important. And that helps you kind of work without being in that mindset that, oh, I need to make money tomorrow or I'm going to go broke.
And that's how you yeah. make mistakes, I'm yeah. sure, with entrepreneurship. Like, you need to have a clear head and a clear mind when you're focusing and innovating and hustling hard. So to be so, so worried about money in that moment is probably a terrifying existence.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of similar to when you have a job and you're looking for mm-hmm. another job. You know, yeah. it always seems like, man, there's so many jobs available and, you know, oh, we'll call you back in 2 weeks. Oh, that's fine. You know, call me back in mm-hmm. 2 weeks, yada, yada, whatever, however it happens to be. But then when you don't have a job and you're looking for a job, all of a sudden they say, call me back in 2 weeks. You're like, oh my God, that's two more yeah. weeks where I'm not going to get paid. You know, it's a totally different mindset when you don't have to, when you're not sitting there like, where am I going to get my next dollar from? You know,
yeah.
if you don't have that mindset and you, you've made the proper precautions. It's not like, you know, I just randomly quit my job. And I don't recommend anyone just randomly quitting their job.
Right.
To run a business takes money. And if you don't have some type of income coming in, then go out there and get a job. You know, something that you can do quickly, that you can, doesn't take a ton of time. You can make some money from it and then take that money and then reinvest it into yourself or reinvest it into your business and continue to grow and scale it till you get to the point to where now it is a waste of time to go to work.
Right. Because you have to test out the efficacy of your product. Like when you made your 27 cents on Amazon, I like how you said you just had to find a way to scale it. But I think what some people do is they quit their jobs to figure it out. I think you have to have a certain amount of something figured out before, or at least know what you're going to devote all your time to. I think if you quit your job without knowing what you want to devote your time and your resources to, or have any sort of backup, that's when things can become really terrifying really quickly.
Yeah, and it's not wise to do either. It's not. You need to sit down and calculate the costs before you make a big jump like that. And this is really regardless of where you are in your life, whether you're single or whether you have a family. If you're single, it's a lot easier to bounce back, obviously, you know, but it just really depends on where you are. And that's kind of why I try to get young people to, you know, I say young people like I'm some old man. I'm like 35, but, you know, it's like young people are just telling, like, if I knew what I knew now when I was 18, I'd be a much richer person right now.
Yeah.
You know,
that's actually a great segue into our next question, which is, what were some of the challenges that you didn't anticipate? Now that you look back, maybe some of those early mistakes, or just caution other people against.
In terms of the business itself.
Yeah.
Or blogging, or you know, anything about this kind of your current lifestyle that you live.
Yeah, I guess one of the biggest takeaways that I had with growing the business, it's probably two. The biggest one was actually investing in yourself for training or for mindset training, and not necessarily having to go out there and buy $1,000 course. I'm not saying go and do that. What I'm saying is maybe take some money and go buy a book, you know, to teach you, you know, okay, there's a different way to earn an income. One of my favorite books out there is Expert Secrets by Russell Brunson.
Okay.
Very, very good book that kind of shows you that you can, the ClickFunnels guy. Yeah. It's a very, the way the book lays it out, it shows you how you can take knowledge and then turn around and sell it somehow. Mm-hmm. Right. Because there's a group of people out there who want to know what you want to know. Yeah. And he shows you how to do that in the book. And then another book is Think and Grow Rich. Mm-hmm. Really great way of just changing your mindset of how money works. And then another one is The 4-Hour Work Week.
Oh, yeah. You know,
that's one of our favorites. Yeah.
That's our Bible. Great book by Tim Ferriss. Yeah. And, you know, Ferriss is an insane guy. And if you listen to his podcast, he's hilarious. But it's like, you know, when you realize that, hey, I can leverage other people. I can leverage a virtual assistant to take care of something for me. Now all I have to do is just work X amount of hours and I can still make double or triple the money.
Right.
You know, not necessarily coming, you know, saying that that's going to work for everybody, but it's going to help you scale, because if you can create like a little version of yourself that's working for you, even when you're sleeping, you know, I think Warren Buffett said that if you don't find a way to make money while you sleep, you're going to work until you die.
Yeah.
And if you can get that in your skull, you know, get that into your brain and realize that, hey, I need to find a way to earn, you know, earn and create multiple income streams. Then if an income stream dies, then I can turn around and work on another one, or I can work on something else because I have three others that are propping me up.
Yeah.
You know, so you just have to keep those kinds of things in mind when it comes to creating your business.
And I think that's part of what you can fall in love with or become passionate about, not necessarily the money. Like you said, don't follow the money in a way that's going to sacrifice your morals or your ethics or create an inauthentic product. But, you know, when we learn that you're supposed to find a certain subject or something that you're passionate about, and then one day you'll find your dream job. But I would argue that the entrepreneurship, not job, but lifestyle, is a dream job for some. Like you said, you've been selling candy since you were a child. I used to make pillows and sell them as a kid. And it took me forever because I bought in this society narrative of like, find your one thing and your dream job, but I realized like I just like solving problems. I like learning new things, and so many different kinds of people are good at that kind of thing. So when you're testing a new stream or you're setting something up, it's using all of those skills that add feedback to who we are and what we love to do. It's not just $$$$. It's a very fulfilling line of work, in my opinion. Would you say the same?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you just have to, I wouldn't necessarily say that don't go after your passion, because a lot of times when you're creating the content, when you're creating your podcast, YouTube channel, or whatever, there's going to be a period where you're not going to make any money because there's no one knows you exist.
Right.
So if you love it and you actually enjoy it, then you're going to continue doing it, whether someone's listening to it or not, you know? And so you just need to find a way to monetize that passion of yours.
Yeah.
Not every passion out there is going to make you a ton of money, but if you choose the right one, or if you get broad enough with what it is that you're attacking, just kind of how you were just saying, at first you were starting off with the pillows, but then you realize that I'm better at figuring out stuff.
Yeah.
That's a bigger, you know, niche of people to talk to rather than just people who are interested in pillows.
Yeah.
But you realize that, and you know, you just have to kind of look at yourself, look at what you enjoy doing, look at what you like doing, and give it some critical thinking. What is it that I essentially like to do?
Mm-hmm.
And then find a way to help other people do the same thing. And if you do that, you've now created a service. You know, every major company in the world answers a question. They fulfill a need. You know, Airbnb, houses, or Uber, they find a way to get you a car. You know, that's just, they fulfill these things. And what's funny enough is that Airbnb doesn't own any houses, and Uber doesn't own any cars, yet they provide the service that gets people the cars and the houses and stuff. And that's all you have to do on a smaller scale for you, because you don't need that many people to make a decent amount of money.
Totally. Yeah, that's also a great segue to kind of bringing us up to what does right now look like for you? You know, you said you keep referencing your students. Have you switched a bit into being primarily a teacher, a coach of these things? Or can you talk to us about what Benji's Dad as a platform is now, and kind of what you're doing day to day right now?
Well, the YouTube channel has grown. It's matured, that's for sure. What I'm noticing is as the channel gets bigger, that I'm able to kind of cover wider topics. And because I actually have a bigger audience of people now. My last couple of videos on the channel have been about credit cards, because I had an old credit video from like a year ago that all of a sudden just popped out of nowhere and started getting like 100,000 views. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. You know, and because of that, I have a whole new audience now that's interested in credit cards. And I love credit cards. I'm a credit card freak. And because of that, I'm all into the points and everything.
Same here.
I mean, so I love those things. And since I now have a new audience of people, a segment of my audience who's what I consider my active audience, I can now create content that talks directly to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps Google see, or helps YouTube see, that, okay, this audience likes his credit card stuff. Maybe other credit card people will like his stuff.
Yeah.
And then they'll just kind of push it to them.
To the algorithm.
And that's kind of what I'm trying to double down on right now. But I do still teach. I still do blog. I have multiple blogs out there. A lot of them are just running kind of passively for me, where I don't have to do much with them. And they're bringing in a consistent income each month. I have a new training that I'm getting ready to come out, where I'm showing people how to blog and make money as quickly as you possibly can. Even if you're a complete beginner to having a website up and running, making money. And it's called Blog Builder Pro. So people can check that out. Blogbuilderpro.net. It's going to be, probably by the time this comes out, it might already be out, but it's going to be coming out on the 24th of June. I really can't wait until that drops, because it's going to be helping so many people. And for a long time, I've been promoting other products, and sometimes other products change, and other products, you know, all of a sudden they might make a shift in their, you know, fundamentals that I might not agree with. So I'm like, you know what, let me go ahead and just create my own course, showing the exact same thing that I've been doing over these last few years. I don't always recommend people who are brand new to start with their own course. I always recommend people do affiliate marketing first, and then eventually almost a natural segue would be to create your own course. And that's kind of where I am right now.
Great.
I've been doing affiliate marketing for a few years now. Now it's time to start creating my own courses. And that's kind of what I'm working on right now.
Yeah, by the time this does drop, you guys can head over. We'll also put that in the footnotes as well. Speaking of this, and kind of one of our final questions is, how competitive do you find the space right now? Like, obviously you would encourage somebody to jump in and take advantage, but it seems like the internet gets more crowded every single year. So would you say at the end of the day, it's still just cracking the code, figuring it out? Do you see a lot of potential still for new people entering this world?
Yeah, the blogging world has changed a lot. I like to say that it's evolving. You'll have some people out there that'll tell you, oh, blogging's dead. And it's not dead. It's just evolving. At least that's the way that I look at it. But then you have other people who are saying, you know, podcasting is the new blogging, you know. So that's really like where you're heading is where you have to keep your mindset to. Everywhere is going to be a little bit competitive. If you run away from competitiveness, then you're not going to end up doing anything.
Yeah.
You know, so when it comes to blogging, you just have to know the proper way to do what's called keyword research, where you're looking for words that people search for often and then finding your way to get on the front page answering that question. Honestly, to me, it's a little bit of a misnomer that it is competitive, because mm-hmm. in my opinion, there's cracks in every niche online. You just have to sit down and find the cracks.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes it'll take you a little longer to find the cracks than others, because there are some niches out there that are ultra competitive.
Mm-hmm.
Like I probably wouldn't recommend a student sit down and start creating a blog on health and fitness. That's right. A very, very tough,
very
niche
saturated.
To crack.
Yeah.
Very saturated. And when you're in it, Google nowadays, they've made it to where it's harder for medical or health type websites to rank very well, because they're afraid at delivering the wrong kind of information.
Mm-hmm.
So an example of that would be, if I'm Googling, you know, my left side is numb, what should I do? Google doesn't want, you know, a random blog from, you know, John in Idaho, you know, depending on, you know, what he thinks you need to do. They want to make sure that a medical site comes up, a school comes up, or something saying, hey, you need to call 911 if your left side is numb, not just a random blog.
Yeah, totally.
And because of that, it's a little more difficult to rank, because you have to actually prove for a longer period of time that you know what you're talking about. So sometimes for a brand new site, I wouldn't recommend someone jump into the medical niche or whatever, but just pick a small niche that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I'm about to start a site on golf.
Cool.
Golf is very competitive out there, but there's a lot of space for people to grow. Whatever it is you're interested in, there's a niche that you can start a website on, and you can start making money with it within a couple of months, especially if you use the training over at Blog Builder Pro. So
yeah.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us and giving us so many useful insights. So where else can people go to find you or to reach out to you other than your website?
Probably the YouTube channel is probably the greatest place you can catch me, youtube.com/Benji's Dad. The name Benji's Dad comes because my son's name's Benjamin.
I love that.
My wife came up with the name. So I was like, that's actually a perfect name. So
yeah.
Benji's Dad. And plus it reaches out to a lot of people, because a lot of people are parents. A lot of people are, you know, just trying to make a extra side income.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what basically my channel is about. It's about personal finance and saving money and entrepreneurship, you know, doing
Fantastic.
Those kinds of things so that you can have a better life than the one that you have. So definitely the YouTube channel, BenjisDad.com, and at the new training, BlogBuilderPro.net.
Fantastic. Well, we will
Perfect.
Definitely be checking that out when it comes out as well. And we'll be including all links in the show notes.
Yep. Any last words, Chris, for our audience?
Yeah. One of my favorite sayings is do something now that your future self will thank you for. So just don't go 5 years and then turn around and look back and say, you know, I wish I had done that, or I wish I had taken the chance. Go out there and do it right now, so that 5 years from now you can look and be, you know, at least I did try it. Whether it worked or not, it's going to depend on you. Whether it worked or not, it doesn't really matter. Fail fast, you know.
Yeah.
That way you can get better. And I think Thomas Edison said that I haven't failed. I just found 10,000 ways that didn't work.
Yeah,
you know? I
so,
love that.
Have that kind of mindset, move forward, look back at yourself in a few years and think, man, I'm glad I made that move.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. This was amazing insight, and I'm sure it is going to inspire a lot of people like it has inspired us.
So yep, thank definitely. You. Thank you so much, Chris.
Yeah, I appreciated you guys. This was really fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in, guys. We hope you really enjoyed the show. You can find Chris on his YouTube channel. That's Benji's Dad, BenjisDad. You can also find him on his website, blogbuilderpro.net. We'll make sure to add the links to the show notes for these. Once again, please follow us on Instagram at Ear Disrupted. Please reach out to us if you have any questions or if you'd like to give us suggestions on topics that we should discuss on this podcast. Thank you once again. Until next time.